الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات وتجري تحت الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, we as human beings, there is no doubt that together with Kitabi and guidance from the Kitab, the Quran, the Kalam of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we as human beings also get inspired by great examples. This is a reality. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, together with the Kitab, the Kalam of Almighty Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down inspirations for us. The greatest inspiration, none other than our beloved Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Verily, in the Prophet of Almighty Allah, you have the best example of how to lead your life. And then therefore Allah Ta'ala also in another place gives a most beautiful example of why Allah sent the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam to serve as an inspiration upon us. وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذَ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَىٰ إِلَّا أَن قَالُوا أَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ بَشَرًا رَسُولًا. Many people in the past didn't accept the truth. They said, did Allah send a human being as a prophet? Did Allah send a human being as a prophet? So what did Allah reply? كُلَّوْ كَانَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَلَائِكَةٌ يَمْشُونَ مُطْمَئِنِّينَ لَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَلَكَ الرَّسُولَ. Tell unto the people, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, if the earth was inhabited by angels, I would have sent an angel as a prophet. The earth is inhabited by human beings. I sent a human being as a prophet that you can relate with your Nabi. The Nabi eats, you also need to eat. The Nabi will have desires and you also have those. So therefore I have sent the Nabi as an example, as a guide to you. Now together with the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, one source of inspiration for us is the Ashab of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the companions of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And who makes mention of them as a source of inspiration? Allah Himself. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. Those who are in the vanguards of the Muhajirin and Ansar, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ, those who follow them in guidance and righteousness. To Sahaba Ikram ko, qabile, to follow them. Who made mention of it? Allah Ta'ala ne bataya. Therefore Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ashabi kan nujum, the Sahaba are like stars, whomsoever you follow, you will be rightly guided. So the Sahaba Ikram are the means of our inspiration also. After our beloved Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One sahabi today I want to make mention of his halat and his condition so that we can be inspired. A person and a sahabi by the name of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. A remarkable sahabi. He was amongst the Ansar. He was from the Bani Khazraj. And amongst the 70 people who came to pledge at the hands of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that particular time, which was at that time when they came and pledged to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we will help you, O Prophet of Almighty Allah. When you come to Medina, come to Medina, we will help you. And we will remain with you and we will give you all support. Now, Yebi, you see, when we talk about the Sahaba and we don't only talk about their greatness, we take lessons from there. Hum sabak hasil karte hain. You see now the Ansar, there is a very famous maxim in management. Seize the opportunity. Seize the opportunity. If the time comes for you to do something good, then take that opportunity. Allah will give you that good. Look at the Ansar of Medina. The Jews of Medina who were their neighbors. Yehudi won ko kehte the ki aakhri nabi aayega aur hum unke saath milkar aapke upar fatah hasil karenge. We will join with him and we will defeat you. So when few of the Ansar came to for Hajj, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam invited them and said, come and accept Islam because I am the last prophet. So Ansar started saying that the Jews are telling us that they are going to be with the last prophet and they will defeat us. Come before they accept Islam, let us bring iman upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they took that opportunity. They seized the opportunity. Many a times in life you will find Allah gives you the opportunity. That opportunity is there to do good. Don't lose that opportunity. Ansar took the opportunity. Wallahi al-Azim, they took the opportunity. Therefore Allah Ta'ala says, وَيُوْفِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They gave preference to others even when difficulty came upon them. And because they took the opportunity, nowadays, it is a sign of iman till the day of Qiyamah. حُبُّ الْأَنْسَارِ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Until you don't like the Ansar, you do not have iman. Why? They took the opportunity. Maamla samne aaya, unhone jo na pesh kadmi ki. They took the opportunity. So when they accepted them, one of them was, among the 70 was Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala. Mu'adh ibn Jabal was known for his knowledge. I won't give all the examples, just some of the examples with regard to where we draw inspiration. And it is said that when Mu'adh ibn Jabal used to remain silent, people used to see his dignity. And when he used to speak, then volumes of knowledge used to emanate from his lips. And it is said, أَعْلَمُهُمْ بِالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ Mu'adh ibn Jabal. The one who knew most about halal and haram among the Sahaba was Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. In one hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala will take the flag of the ulama and lead them to Jannah. The flag of the ulama on the day of Qiyamah will be held by Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And he will lead the ulama towards Jannah. Subhanallah. He was known for knowledge. Now brothers, the second lesson, the importance of knowledge. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran tells us, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. The one who has knowledge is not equal to the one who doesn't have knowledge. In the eyes of Allah, the one who has knowledge, he is more superior than the one who doesn't have knowledge. You see, this particular aspect of how we say, an ignorant Muslim is a misnomer. Jahil Musliman, ye kabhi ho nahi sakta. Kabhi ye hum kehte hain ki jo na ye Musliman jahil hai. Lekin an ignorant Muslim is not supposed to exist. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, talabul ilm faridatun ala kulli Muslim. The acquiring of knowledge is compulsory upon each and every Muslim. How can you be jahil? How can you be ignorant after that? But of course, it also tells us that the more a person gains knowledge, the more he is superior. Obviously, his ilm must also be accompanied by good deeds. That's also another aspect. But there is no doubt that from here we learn the importance of knowledge and the importance of the ulama. Why the importance of the ulama? Allah will give them a specific mention, and specifically they will go under the flag of Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Jannah. Now there are two aspects when I speak about the respect of ulama and ilm. Isme do cheeze hai. There's two things. It's a two-way street. What does it mean? It means is this, that firstly, I don't regard myself as an alim, so I'm not speaking as anyone who is worthy of respect. I'm just giving you a general aspect. That anyone, a person who is supposed to be an alim, will never get carried away if people respect him. Let me explain. He will never get carried away when people respect him. Because people are not respecting him for his that and being. They are respecting the ilm which they feel he possesses. So anyone who respects an alim, alim ko ye kabhi nahi samajhna chahiye ki mujhe jo hai na log izzat kar rahe hain. Aapko nahi kar rahe hain. Aapke ilm ko kar rahe hain. To wo log jo aapko izzat kar rahe hain, wo qabil-e-ta'zeem hain. कि वो आपको जो है ना वो आपको नहीं आपके इल्म को कि वो ताजीम कर रहा है. They are respecting your knowledge. So a person never gets carried away that they are respecting me. Who are you? If you didn't have that knowledge, who would have respected you? So the person who has knowledge doesn't get carried away by that. On the other hand, it is a duty of the people to respect a person of knowledge. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, appears in Targhib, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that only a munafiq disregards three types of people. Only a munafiq disregards three types of people. And a munafiq will not show respect to an aged, an elderly person. A munafiq will not show respect to a just ruler. And a munafiq will not show respect to an alim. So you see, it's two ways. On one hand, the alim doesn't get carried away ki mujhe jo hai log adab kar rahe hain, aapko nahi, aapke ilm ko. So he doesn't get carried away. On the other hand, from the other side, you have to respect the ilm because he has got ilm. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, only a munafiq will disregard three types of people. And he will disregard an aged person, a just ruler, and he will disregard an alim. So Hazrat Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala will carry the flag of the ulama and go into Jannah. Another aspect with regard to Hazrat Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, which is unique to him, is this particular aspect. Our ulama have made mention, I'm not a very great scholar of hadith. I heard one person who made mention and who knows about hadith says, I have not seen anywhere in the hadith where anyone Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to by using these words when he told Muadh radiallahu ta'ala one day, Ya Muadh, Inni uhibbuk. O Muadh, I love you. Ya Allah, how fortunate were those people that the Prophet of Almighty Allah could tell them, O Muadh, I love you. Some of the ulama say of the hadith, this particular words, O Muadh, I love you, has not been said with regard to any other specific words with regard to any sahabi. What must be that relationship? Someone told me who went to the qabr of Hazrat Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, which is in Jordan. He says, on his qabr is written, Ya Muadh, inni uhibbuk. O Muadh, I love you. The hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after that advised him and said, O Muadh, after every salat, read Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Now that is the love that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had with him. That, O Muadh, after every salat, read Allahumma inni ala dhikrika. O Allah, help me in remembering you, in being grateful to you. And O Allah, help me in making ibadat of you in the correct manner. So after every salat, we learn this from Muadh ibn Jabal to read this. Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. One other incident with regard to Muadh ibn Jabal. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day asked him, O Muadh, what is the state of your iman? What is the state of your iman? So Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu said, Alhamdulillah, my iman is steadfast. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِكُلِّ قَوْلٍ حَقِيقَةٍ. Each and every statement has a reality. What is the reality of your statement that your iman is steadfast? فَمَا حَقِيقُكَ غُلِكَدَ. What is the reality of your statement? So he said, Ya Rasulullah, when I'm in the morning, I don't expect to be alive in the evening. When I come to the evening, I don't expect to be alive the next morning. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam congratulated him and said, Muadh, you have iman. One of the very great aspects of Hazrat Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala was that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him today. They are facing great amount of challenges. Allah make it easy for them, inshallah. And many other places wherever Muslims are facing challenges, Allah make it easy for them also, inshallah. So this aspect with regard to Muadh sent him to Yemen. So as Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sending him and taking him and leading him out of Medina, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is catching his camel and taking him, giving him advice and different advisors and different aspects. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, O Muadh, you are going to people. On what basis are you going to decide amongst them? What basis are you going to decide amongst them? So Hazrat Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu said, I will decide amongst them on the basis of the Quran. O Muadh, if you do not find something specifically or directly in the Quran, how will you decide amongst people? Ya Rasulullah, I will decide amongst them on the basis of the hadith, your sayings. O Muadh, what happens if you don't find it directly in the hadith? It is there in the Quran and hadith, but sometimes it is not directly there. You know, certain things are there which are not there. Now how will you decide if you don't find it directly in the Quran and hadith? Ya Rasulullah, I will deduce principles from the Quran and hadith and I will apply it to that matter. I will make it clear. I will take principles from the Quran and the Hadith, and then I will apply it. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam became so happy and said, praise be to Allah, who gave the messenger of Allah, the ability to say the correct thing. That means that's how we will, Quran, Hadith, and that which comes from the Quran. Example, I'll just give you an example. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has said, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِمُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوا. Khamar is haram. Now what is khamar? Khamar is not only that which was in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu stood in the mimbar of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, الْخَمْرُ مَا يُخَامِرُ الْعَقَلِ. Khamar is that which beclouds the mind. Anything that beclouds the mind, which takes away the distinguishing factor between right and wrong, it is haram. So that is ijtihad. From where it came? From the Quran. So you see, you can't say that, no, the Quran doesn't speak about heroin, the Quran doesn't speak about cocaine, the Quran doesn't speak about tuk, the Quran doesn't speak about drugs. No, it says khamar. What is khamar? Which beclouds the intellect. Anything that beclouds the intellect, similarly haram. Which takes you away from Allah Ta'ala's deen, which takes you away from the remembrance of Allah, no matter what it is. It might be a plant, it might be a weed, it might be a tablet, it might be drugs, haram. Where came from? Quran. So you see what Muaz ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu said, the Quran, the Hadith, and what is deduced from the principles of the Quran and Hadith. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him many, many things. He told him, O Muaz, iyaka wa tana'um, fa inna ibadallahi laysu bil mutana'imin. O Muaz, going now to Yemen, as he's going, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving him advice. O Muaz, stay away from extravagance. Allah doesn't like those people who are prone towards extravagance. Brothers, we have become, lesson we learn. Brothers, we have become very extravagant in our ways. May Allah Ta'ala forbid. We must get away from this. Innal mubadhirin kanu ikhwana shayateen. Those who are extravagant in their way of living, they are the brothers of shaitan. Now, you know, many a times, a lot of people give this example. Okay, they, agar hum ziyada maal kharaj karte hai, to hamare hisab se hai. Kisi aur ko uske saath kya laga hua hai? If I spend money, yeah, I'm spending it. What does it harm the community and society? Brothers, you are wrong. One of our great ulama, Maulana Khalid Saifullah, wrote this very beautiful thing. He said, you see, people have a way of living. So when someone becomes extravagant, then that is something where everyone now tries to compete with. So you see marriages. So people become the next form of extravagance, people want to compete with that. So that now becomes the standard. So kisne kaha ke your spending doesn't affect the community? Your extravagance doesn't. Now that particular spending of yours becomes the next standard. That is why innal mubadhirin kanu ikhwana shayateen. It's not only about you. Your extravagance has an impact upon the community. Because the more you become extravagant, the more other people try to compete with it. Kisne shuru kiya? You started it. So innal mubadhirin kanu iyyaka wa tana'um fa inna ibadallahi laysu bil mutana'imin. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, O Muaz, keep your deeds solely for Allah Ta'ala's sake. Yukfik al-amalul qalil. Then if you do things solely for Allah's sake, even if you have less deeds, it will be sufficient for you. And if your deeds are not for the sake of Allah, then you can have abundance, but it will not be sufficient for you. So do things solely for the sake of Allah. Tuba lil mukhlisin. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, congratulations upon those people who do things for the sake of Allah. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Allah commands, whatever you do it solely for the sake of Allah. Ajib. Ibn Arabi rahmatullah alayhi in the tafsir makes mention that when this ayat was revealed, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ, the heavens and earth stood still. Ya Allah, what is human beings being commanded by Allah? The heavens and earth, zameen aur asman, sakit reh gaye thodi der ke liye. Jab ye ayat nazil farmaya Allah Ta'ala ne, for a short period of time, the whole heavens and earth became still. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. So if you do things sincerely, little bit will be good enough for you. But if you don't do things with sincerity, then even if you do much, it won't be sufficient for you. And this is, of course, one beautiful example our ulama have given. Mawlana Umar Palanpuri, rahmatullah alayhi, used to make mention of this example. He said that, see, you build a house. Say a person by the name of Musa builds a house. And then after he builds the house and he has to be paid, he goes to Isa for money. So he built the house for Musa, but he goes to Isa. Isa, give me money, I build the house. So Isa kya kahega? But aapne to banaya tha Musa ke liye, mujhse kyun paisa lete ho? You build a house for Musa, why are you coming to Isa to take money? Go and ask Musa to pay you the money, because I build a house, you build a house for Musa, not for Isa. Why are you coming to me, Isa, for money? In a similar manner, if you do deeds not for Allah, Allah on the day of Qiyamah will say, who did you do it for? You did it for our name. You did it for shuhrat. You did it for riyah. Why are you asking me? Go and ask the people for whom you did it from. Mujhe kyun puchte ho? Jaakar unse puche. Go and ask them for me. Why are you asking me? So then, O Muaz, do deeds solely for Allah's sake. Then little bit will also be sufficient. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, O Muaz, لَعَلَّكَ تَمُرُّ بِمَسْجِدِي وَقَبَرِي لَعَلَّكَ تَمُرُّ بِمَسْجِدِي وَقَبَرِي Next time you come, you will pass my masjid, you will pass my qabar. Ya Allah, this was extremely difficult for the sahaba. فَبَكَى مُعَاد خَسَفًا لِفِرَاقِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ Muaz started crying, because now he realized the next time he comes, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will not be there. So he started, nothing more difficult for the sahaba than to be away from Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, next time you come to me, O Muaz, you will not find me. You will find my masjid and you will find your qabar. So Muaz started crying. And look at what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him. O Muaz, don't cry. Inna awla an-nasi biyal muttaqoon haythu kanu wa aina ma kanu. O Muaz, the people who are closest to me are those who have taqwa, no matter how far they are from me. And wherever they come, O Muaz, don't cry. Never mind. If you come next time and you find my qabar, I know it is difficult for you, but the people who are closest towards me are those who have taqwa, no matter how far and how distant they might be in terms of time or in terms of distance. What a beautiful example Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave something for you and I also. If you have taqwa, you are close to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Even if you are not, close, obviously those who saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will always have superiority. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him this, and Muadh went to Yemen. And obviously, as he was, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away while he was in Yemen. Last incident I will make mention of. Hazrat Muadh radiallahu ta'ala anhu then went to Syria in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And there he took part in the jihad against the Roman Empire. And then Hazrat Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu got caught up in a plague, the plague of Amwas. Over 20,000 people lost their life, many of them Sahaba Ikram. And in that particular plague, Hazrat Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu also got involved in. He also started getting the effects of that plague, the effects of that sickness. Before him, Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah was the Amir. He passed away in that plague, in that sickness. He made Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu the Amir. And Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu then also got caught up in that plague. But I want to just give you an example of certainty of faith, yaqeen. Yaqeen kisko kehte hai? This is yaqeen. When he got the boil and the blister which indicated that he is now going to be caught up in this plague, then he said, I heard Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, you will go to Syria. And in Syria, those people who are in Syria will be overcome by a plague. And those people who die in that plague, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I guarantee them Jannah. Those people who go out in the path of Allah, they die in that sickness, I guarantee them Jannah. Hazrat Muadh ibn Jabal used to take and see that blister and he used to kiss it. And he said, Wallahi al-Azim, you are more beloved to me than the world and whatever it contains. You are more beloved to me than the world and whatever it contains. Because through you, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given the glad tidings. Those who get caught up in this sickness and they die, Allah will grant them Jannah. He used to have such certainty, such yaqeen upon the sayings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you are more beloved to me and the world, more beloved than the world and whatever he contains. And he passed away in that sickness. And may Allah Ta'ala grant him Jannah. May Allah Ta'ala grant all the Sahaba who made sacrifice of the deen can come upon us. Allah Ta'ala grant them the behtareen, best of ajar, the best of rewards from our behalf, on behalf of every ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were the people, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا أَحَدُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. They had fulfilled the covenant with Allah. May Allah give you the tawfiq also of fulfilling the covenant with Allah and following their footstep as Allah Ta'ala has told us in the Holy Quran. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ.